Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of X Vlog Live. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And as you can see, well, I have a new guest co-host for today, as C-Money is in Boston with the Iron Lords and Ham Solo and the rest of those crazy crew enjoying themselves. I probably should have went. Mrs. Boom actually kind of read me the riot act. She's like, I don't understand why you didn't go to this. All your friends were going to be there. Shame on you. So I will be going next year because Mrs. Boom says I need to go. And she's not wrong. She's definitely not wrong. But Jamie Moran, man, so great to have you here. You're my co-host. We got three big topics to get into. You got some Evil West on your screen, folks. I'm telling you right now, please, for the love of Joe, play this game. It is in Game Pass. It is available today. The game is Gears of War meets vampires and werewolves. It is awesome. But Jamie, it's even more awesome that you're here. How you doing?
Yeah, happy to be here. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks, I think. I'm just interested to talk about all the things that's been going on because some of the topics I think I'm going to get a bit heated about.
No. And you know something? Again, there's not a lot of news, but there is some ongoings. And I think that when you do five live streams a week, you got to do your due diligence as a host to bring interesting conversation. And I think that the three topics we're going to talk about, everyone is going to enjoy. I can't wait to hear what you have to say, but I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Well, listen, let's get right into it, folks. I want to talk about Game Pass because I think that when you look at what is currently happening with Game Pass, there's no denying. Like it's basically undeniable that you are not a part of this service. They have, specifically this month alone, they have released a ton of games already. But what we got the other day, and this was tweeted out by, of course, the official Xbox Game Pass Twitter account. It says, woo, yeah, lots of woos in this tweet. But folks, let's break down, Jamie, what they have coming to the service starting today, moving forward towards the end of the month, which, of course, is only, 10 days away. You got you got the F1 23 is in there out of EA Play. The Quarry, which is another phenomenal game that you need to play. Evil West is what's on your screen now, folks. I'm telling you, please, if you have Game Pass, if you like Gears of War, if you like werewolves and vampires and monsters, you gotta try this game. It is a hidden gem. Many people passed on it. I went back to it. I had bought it when it first came out. It's phenomenal. I'm going to beat it now. I obviously got the urge to play, which, of course, is why I only got 45 minutes of footage, but I'm going to, of course, add some to that. You got the Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged Edition. That will be releasing soon. You have an indie game called The Open Roads, another indie game that is very popular, Super Hot. Mind Control Delete Edition. You have Ark Survival Ascended. You got Diablo 4 on the 28th and Terra Invicta, which I'm not sure what that is. It's on game preview on PC Game Pass. I'm not sure if it's a survival game. I'm not sure if it's an RTS. Certainly not so much for me. But Jamie, look, I got to be honest with you. When you consider that this is for the rest of March, right? Which is, again, we got 10 days left. You're getting all of these games. They've already had a ton of games come out. May is around the corner. You got Hellblade 2. You got Avowed. You got Indiana Jones. You got Towerborn. You got a ton of stuff coming on top of third party, second party deals, and indie games. I don't know, man. It makes, I don't get a dollar every time I say Game Pass. I wish I did because I would say it a lot. You know, help us fund our house, Mrs. Boom and I. But, you know, obviously Microsoft doesn't pay me to say it. But as a consumer, as a fan of Xbox, as someone that, you know, has a great pension but does have a ceiling, this is a service I don't think you can deny. I mean, again, not every game is going to be for you on this list, and I understand that. But man, Jamie, hard to deny what they're doing with Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, all genres are covered. So, like, you have JRPGs dropping 1 month this month. You have the Quarry, I think, is the big one. I loved the Quarry. Excellent horror game. You know, Evil West, it's a mix between Gears and God of War. You're hunting vampires. A lot of people ignored that when it came out because it released between a bunch of busy games, but it's a great month. And look, like you said, like I wish I got paid for the amount of times I talk about Game Pass. But the truth is, like, I think it's valuable. It's a great service. You know, we live in an age where these publishers are thinking about raising the prices of games to $80. So like the value you get is ridiculous. And I put it like this, when Game Pass first came out, I didn't subscribe to it because back when there was 100 games there, I had nearly all of them. So I never really thought there was any reason to subscribe. But now when there's like over like 500 games there, I feel the need to subscribe. Like it's a necessary subscription to me, much like Disney Plus or Netflix. Well, Netflix occasionally, but it's a great month. And you know, Microsoft, none of their first party games released till May. So like they obviously like they hype up the Game Pass stuff, and Game Pass is a big part of Xbox. So like I think them having a few great months in a row for Game Pass, it's great for everyone.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, like I said, all you gotta do is look at your screen. You're gonna see this game looks phenomenal. It runs phenomenal. It has very Gears of War-esque, aspects to it. Again, it may not be, maybe it's not your bag, and if it's not, I hear you. But there are a lot of stuff to get excited about. And one of the things, Jamie, that I think are pretty incredible is they still advertise this as over 100 games, and we know that there's over 500 games, and it continues to grow. We get a lot of shadow drops. We get a lot of surprises, especially coming out of the West. And you made mention of it. You said JRPGs. That's a thing. As a matter of fact, who was it in the chat that just said this? I mean, let me give them the credit where credit is due. Let me see if I can find it. Someone had made mention. Give me another, another message in there, because the chat is going crazy. That she had the Persona DLC drop into Xbox Game Pass for free. Like, it's just one of the perks. And again, I'm not a Persona guy, not at all. But if you are a Persona person and you were looking to buy the DLC, well, you don't have to because it's one of the perks. That, Jamie, is something I want to see them do a little bit more of. I want to see more of the perks be better than some of the stuff that there's. Because a lot of the perks, they're free-to-play stuff. They're like a weapon. They're a skin. And it's for games that I don't play. So a lot of the times it doesn't equate with me. But I am going to say that you made mention of JRPGs. That is a thing that seems to be finding its way to Game Pass on a regular basis. And I think that's a giant win, especially if you are a fan of the genre.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big advocate for JRPGs on Xbox. So like, it's great to see. And plus, it really benefits everyone, these JRPGs coming to Game Pass. So, like, I will take every opportunity to push Square Enix down the stairs. So, this is my opportunity. Sega made the right decision partnering with Xbox a few years ago by, you know, Yakuza is coming to Xbox. So, they brought Yakuza Zero to Game Pass, and it gave the fans a taste of the franchise, and then they bought the rest of the Yakuza games. And by the end of the next year, the brand new Yakuza game, it wasn't in Game Pass, but it still sold well on Xbox because they created a Yakuza fan base on the console, you know, which there never was before. And they did the same with Persona last year. You know, Persona 5 launched in Game Pass. It was a big deal, 3 and 4. And this year with the remake, huge deal. And the Persona 3 remake is bloody fantastic. And the fact that the DLC is also going to be in Game Pass as a perk is great. And if you live in the UK, the perks in Game Pass aren't that good. it's like, you know, you get some gems for a free-to-play game and all that stuff. So to have an expansion, which launches later this year, that's a huge deal. And I think it's just the Persona fan base on Xbox is getting bigger by the day because of the moves they've made with Sega. And it's just going to benefit everyone in the end run, because people will say there's no JRPG fans on Xbox. And the truth is there is, but they need to be exposed to the IP in the correct way and has to be marketed. Yep. And via Game Pass, Game Pass gets all the marketing. So it's just great to see. And plus, I love the fact that now we're getting expansions in Game Pass. I think the last expansion we got in Game Pass Ultimate was Gears of War 5 Hive Busters.
Yes.
Which was phenomenal. So I love the fact they're doing this, and I hope they continue to do this.
So, hey, Hargeet Chani, what's going on, Hargeet? Hopefully you're enjoying Boston. He's out there also with King David and the Iron Lords hanging out at GDC at PAX East. I've been to three. I will say this. PAX East is an amazing fan show. And the three times that I actually went out there, I didn't have a channel. I went out there just as a fan. And now, well, I have a YouTube channel. I think I'm going to try and get there next year as press. I'm going to give it the old college effort, see if they acknowledge a channel, which would be pretty dope if they did. I know a lot of people got acknowledged, which is great because obviously you want to see more content creators out there. And Mrs. Boomer is pushing me out the door, so I'm definitely going next year for sure. Let's see. Who was it here? It was... God, this chat is flying. Hold on just a second. Because King Webb is the one that said it. King Webb, welcome to the program. As always, brother, super appreciate it. He said, Jamie, that there are over 700 games. And I said 500. I'm 200 off. If there are 700 games for $16.99 a month, I mean, can you beat that? But with the positive... We got to back in this with some questions as how they move this forward. Because I think that, you know, a lot of the times Xbox content creators get accused of only capping when there's good news and never criticizing Xbox. Well, you criticize Xbox when it's necessary. And I know that we do that here. And we don't do it for rhetoric. We don't do it for clicks. We don't do it because we want to make other people mad. We do it because we're asking like legit questions. And then my caveat to the positivity about Game Pass, because there's a lot to really like here, Jamie, it's the question of the marketing. Because how many people do you folks know? Please, by all means, in the chat, let's get involved in here. Let's have a conversation. Xbox has a marketing problem. And as great as Game Pass is, and it is phenomenal, we went over the reasons why it is. There are 700 reasons why Game Pass is incredible. From games that you've never played that you didn't realize you needed in your life, and here they are. Games that are AAA bombs that would cost you $76.43 if you walked into GameStop or Walmart or Target. It's in your service, or you know, you find it on the store. You're not paying full boat. If you decide to buy it, you're saving 10%. If it's on its way out, I think they give you an additional 10. They kind of like, hey, it's 20% off, buy it. And you go and you buy the game before it leaves. All first-party games stay in there forever, unlike something like, for instance, Sony. When Spider-Man 2 was on the way out and it was going to be released, what did they do? They pulled Spider-Man 2018 out of the PlayStation Store. I mean, out of your PlayStation Plus library. Why? Because they want to make money, and the people went out and bought, you know, their combo pack where you got Spider-Man 2018, you got Miles' story, and Spider-Man 2. That's kind of shitty. I'm going to be honest with you. So, you know, Microsoft doesn't do that. But I do want to kind of talk about what they need to do to be better for the common person, because Xbox is in third place, folks. No surprise. They've been in third place. They're making the most money, but they're third place in the console platform race, right? Depending on who you ask or depending what day of the week it is, it's PlayStation with their or it's Nintendo, because Nintendo is selling consoles just as good or even better than PlayStation is. But it's PlayStation, it's Nintendo, it's Xbox. So they're in third place, and it's fine. I don't actually think they mind being there because they are making a shit ton of money. But the question, Jamie, that I have for you is, Hellblade is coming out in under 2 months at this point. We haven't seen the marketing ramp up for it. We might get a developer's direct. We don't know, right? They might do it next month. They haven't said anything. There's been no rumors of it. But the question, Jamie, that I have for you is, man, they need to be better letting people know about Game Pass, because, again, we're in an era where everyone in this chat, we have over nearly 500 people here, have a ton of subscriptions, whether it's Netflix and Hulu, whether it's HBO, whether it's Max, whether it's, you know, pick your favorite service, Peacock, Paramount, you name it. We all have that. We have them in spades. So subscribing to a service isn't foreign for people. I don't think they do a good enough job selling Game Pass. What are your thoughts on it? How could they be better on that?
Well, I don't think Xbox does a good job marketing in general anymore. Let's just talk about Game Pass for a moment. I think Microsoft, they only really market Game Pass when it's probably close to a lot of people needing to resubscribe. So if you look at Xbox Live Gold, if you remember when we used to get 4 games each month, we used to get about 1 month per year that had really good games. And it was always around April. And I always gathered from that was like, maybe that's when, like I'd say, I'm just making up a number, like 70% of the Xbox Live Gold members needed to resub. So they gave people a bigger incentive. Well, Microsoft kind of do that with Game Pass, but for marketing, some months they go all out in the UK for marketing. And then like the rest of the year, they don't bother. And I think it's weird because it's the best service. It really is. You know, there's people that don't even know about Game Pass. And that's the scary part because you have like the price of games going up. People complain about live service and all that stuff. But you have Game Pass that has over like 700 games, most of which are single player, and they don't talk about it. And like Microsoft, they do this with the console as well. Like one of the things I talk about on YouTube and on Twitter is the backwards compatibility stuff. And there's many people I talk to all the time in real life that have no idea that Xboxes are backwards compatible. And I have to tell them that. There's people I have to tell weekly online that certain games are backwards compatible. That's why I post about them on Twitter. Because Microsoft, they have this shiny like next-gen console, the Xbox Series X and the S, and they don't say what the console does on the box. They say it does 4K. They say it does 120 frames per second. But it doesn't say anywhere on the box saying, hey, you can play Call of Duty Black Ops and GTA 4 on this box. It doesn't say any of that. It doesn't say that you can... you have resolution enhanced games. It doesn't say that you can play Mad Max at 120 frames per second. It doesn't say that. And they do the thing, they do the same with Game Pass, where most people in the gaming space don't exist. And then you have places like IGN, where they were live and they were talking about how only small games go into Game Pass. And that's just not true. And when it comes to Hellblade, I see Microsoft do this thing where they do the Warner Brothers games approach where they don't talk about the game at all. And then a month before launch, that's when they start marketing the game. By the way, I don't agree with that. I don't think companies should just wait for a month beforehand.
I agree.
So like Hogwarts Legacy, biggest game last year, they didn't talk about the game outside of trailers until a month before launch. And that fortunately it worked out well for them, despite all the drama. But like, look at last year with Starfield. We didn't hear a peep about Starfield. Not really. Until a month before launch. So I think if it gets to like the beginning of April and then they don't talk about it, then there's an issue. But I do think they will have like a developer direct about it. And if they don't, they're stupid. But like Microsoft, despite all the fudge you see online and people making tweets about like how angry they are at Microsoft all the time, and like despite Microsoft having like horrible marketing at the minute, Microsoft's in the best place they've ever been when it came to the consumers, because there's more content coming to the console than ever before. There's more first-party games in development than ever before. There's more third-party games coming to the console than ever before, and that includes Japanese titles. So while things can be better, it's still good. But again, the marketing thing, they need to improve on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, again, we're not complaining, right, to just be jerks about it. I again, we don't get paid by Microsoft. Hell, I don't even get controllers, right? Like you would think if they're going to send somebody a controller, it would be me. They don't. I actually have my Fallout controller. I'm going to do like a little bit of a mini unboxing. I'm going to try and put it up as a short. If you care, check it out. I'm going to do it after. I got the Vasco pop, which I bought, you know. I don't listen. You know the truth of the matter is, folks, I don't want nothing for free. I buy everything, not rich, but I buy my stuff and I'm happy for it. It's fine. I don't need Microsoft to put me on the good guy list so I can get free controllers and do a tweet. That's fine. I haven't gotten free anything from them yet. I'm not going to get start now. But I do want to see them do better with the marketing, and it's a glaring issue. Like I said, I think that when you, if you're going to be a fair content creator, you want to talk about good and you want to talk about the positive, and there's a lot to get excited about. As a matter of fact, tomorrow's show on Breakfast with Boom is going to be packed with positivity. Jez Corden is super excited for the future hardware. He's also super excited about the future first-party games. He put it out in the tweet. Very subtle, but Jez Corden, he has the connections. Again, I say this about Jez all the time. I know him personally. I consider him to be the tip of the spear when you talk about journalistic integrity. He's one of my favorite journals out there. I love Windows Central. And I'm not blowing smoke up his ass, folks. He's definitely, but I will say he's somebody I trust. So tune in tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a packed panel, and it's going to be a lot of Xbox positivity because there is a lot to get excited about, especially because, well, we're in 2024. The future, we'll get there eventually. But I think that this year, I know that it didn't, you know, the rumor thing kind of dampened a lot of people's spirits. And I get it. I understand people were, you know, very disappointed with the way the messaging has been not so great. But there's still a lot to get excited about. But I do want to move along, Jamie, to the next topic. But before we get there, let me welcome in 530 people here. Of course, I want to say, if you're just finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. That would be pretty dope if you do subscribe. I do this Monday through Friday, five great panels, all different shows. And, you know, we don't sell hate and we don't sell FUD to get you to sub or check it out. Also, please, while you're here, hit the like button. That would be pretty dope of you as well. It doesn't cost anything. I know some people act as if it does. Just hit the bell icon if you want to be, of course, notified, and hit the like button while you're here. Simon Brandy, generous friend of the program, drops an outstanding 5-pound super chat and says, boom, do you recall the Xbox One S up the clock speed? Maybe the Series X Digital has a higher clock speed. That would be better compromise than a Pro. Okay, so with the Pro, we talked about it last night in primetime. For me personally, I think it's my Xbox dodged a bullet. I really think that they don't need a Pro. I think Sony needs a – honestly, Sony has a great machine. The PlayStation 5 is a phenomenal machine. Do I think that they actually needed a Pro? Not really. I don't think that they did, but they did. They wanted – the Pro's coming out, at least supposedly according to the leaks. It's coming out this summer. I mean, this fall, great. I'm glad Xbox didn't do that. They don't need to do that. What they're doing is the right move. They are going to jump Sony by at least a year, potentially two, and that would be the two consoles that, again, apparently, according to the rumors, they have two consoles coming out in 2026. I think that's the better move. But in regards to your Super Chat, Xbox hasn't really even used all of the power in the they're gonna with Hellblade, but they haven't used all the power for that console. I think there is a lot of headroom left for us to enjoy. And I think in May, when we get Hellblade 2, we're really going to see what that thing can do. But thanks for the super chat, brother. Abdel 114, who's been a channel member for 6 months. And thank you so much for the consistent generosity, brother. We super appreciate that here. He says, Ronin has a 76 Metacritic versus Wulong, which has an 80. There goes Pony's argument that Game Pass diminishes quality, a day one Game Pass title scoring higher than $70 exclusive TTS. Yeah, I saw that. I saw some of the really higher reviews. I had it pre-ordered, and I buy all my stuff for PlayStation. It's weird. I for PlayStation and Switch, I buy it physical. It's weird. But for everything I buy digital. I think that's just in case I have to sell my stuff. At least I have stuff to sell. And PlayStation does retain some of its value. Not as much as Switch, though. I mean, I had it pre-ordered. I had the deluxe edition pre-ordered. I canceled it. I will buy this game in the fall when it's half price. Same thing with Celeblade. I was going to buy it. I'm not buying it because there are too many games to play. And Dragon's Dogma comes out tomorrow, so my time is going to be all for that. But let's move on to Now, Jamie, this is the one I think you're gonna have a little bit of a snarkiness. Me too. So, PC Gamer, right, is a digital publication that made it their business to dump on Starfield, right? That's what they did. They gave it a 7. And as we know, they went and they did, I don't know, Jamie, 10, 15, 20, 30 tweets, letting everyone know that Starfield from Bethesda is a 7. So right now, outside of PAX, GDC 2024 is happening. That is the gamer. That is an event where developers from all around the world converge to, you know, have you know, show off their wares, show off things that they're working, talk with one another. Gamers developers conference, as it's known, right? Games development conference. And they put out an article, Jamie, yesterday. And the title of this article is Starfield lead quest designer had absolutely no time and had to hit the panic button so the game would have a satisfying final quest. So I'm clicking on it, and I know that I shouldn't, but of course I want to, you know, if I'm going to use an article, folks, I got to be legit. I got to at least tell you who wrote it. And, you know, I'm not going to give you a place to find it. I'm just not going to do that. But I will at least give credit because I am using someone's work. I want to be fair. And it was written by Christopher Livingston. He was published yesterday. And he has some quotes here from people who are working on the game. And they say it became very clear that we were missing a large final location that was going to tie the story together, says former lead quest designer Will Shen. And so you're asking yourself, boom, why are we talking about this? Starfield sold very well. It's played by millions of people. It's currently only on Xbox and PC. We have a DLC releasing Shattered Space this year. They've done a tremendous amount of upgrades to many of the things. Hopefully we get some sort of a rover or a hoverboard or something to kind of make traveling better. There's a whole bunch of things they're going to be adding. The game is definitely going to look different this year and the next year and the year after that. It's going to be a totally different game, very similar to Skyrim, Jamie. So the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because the negativity does not seem to stop with this game. And I brought it. I'm not getting paid for this, right? So I'm just we're having a conversation. I brought it up because prominent people in the industry had a problem with this story. So I'm going to go first to Mike Ybarra. Now, Mike Ybarra, obviously, we all know he's former Microsoft employee, former head of Blizzard. He's now moved on to whatever he's going to move on to. We don't know what he's doing because he hasn't announced it. And Mike Ybarra says this, I really dislike this article. These are incredible designers at GDC explaining what almost every big game goes through, outlining where they think they and the industry can do better, and it gets weaponized in a way to criticize them and the game. It's clear intent. It's sad. So a good friend of the community, I would even dare say great friend of the community and great friend of mine, Ains, from Seasoned Gaming. And of course, who doesn't like that dude? That guy is amazing. I met him at E3 2019. I actually had a drink with him, and it was pretty cool. Ains says, I'm glad you called that out, Mike. Right? So again, Ains, pretty prominent person in the industry. And I'm glad that he seconded it. So I went and I said, you know what? Let's see who else is talking about this. So Miles Toast, or well, it's not Toast, it's Miles Tost, T-O-S-T. Who is this fine gentleman? Well, Miles is a level design lead, and he says again, I'm reading this verbatim from his Twitter account, Clown at CD Projekt Red. He's worked on The Witcher 3, He's worked on Cyberpunk 2077, and he's currently working on the next Witcher game, which, of course, crazy impressive. So he goes on to say, Jamie, I find it discouraging that events of reflection and learning are being misused for sensationalist game journalism. This talk about self-reflection and lessons learned regarding the difficulties studios face when scaling up to tackle increasingly more ambitious projects. And he's 1,000%. So Paris, Lily, who doesn't know and like Paris, because Paris is a good dude, he actually goes on to say the self-reflection and lessons learned are what is most important. For what it's worth, I appreciate the insight into game development. So, of course, Pixelbit G, who was a guest on our show last night, Jamie, he says, you know, and obviously he's a tech guy. He understands a lot of the X's and O's when it comes to making video games. And he responded as well. He says, I can't say that I'm all surprised from this org. It's sad that they can't be banned from access to these events to avoid them purposely painting something in common in development negativity. All projects have takeaways and lessons learned. And I've, again, you know, PC Gamer, they're owned in the same company as IGN. This is not a surprise. This is probably a story, Jamie, that you're not going to find on many other podcasts. But I thought it was important because, once again, they're beating the horse of Starfield being this horrible game. What is the deal?
It's an easy target. You know, whenever we see anyone from like IGN or GameSpot or anything talk about Starfield, they always refer to it as a controversial game. But whenever anyone asks why is it a controversial game, nobody can answer. It's like this forced narrative about the game, because the game came out, it was the least buggiest Bethesda RPG ever. And when it came out, it actually lived up to what they promised the game would be. You know, it wasn't a Ubisoft bait and switch. The game was feature complete, and everything that we were shown during E3 was what we got at launch. But I think it was weird because you have all these journalists that came out of the woodwork last September and said, oh, the Bethesda RPG formula is getting old. But I find it funny how the Bethesda RPG formula has always been the same pretty much, but the straw that broke the camel's back was the one that was Xbox exclusive. You know, that to me screams like there's a very particular reason why the journalists are going for the game. And like, look at all these articles that have came out this year. There's been next to no big gamer news, like not like, you know, traditionally. It's all been negative Xbox news, and negative Xbox news gets the most clicks. It really does. Yeah, because PC Game or IGN, they put out an article. It's negative about Xbox. You have Xbox fans trying to defend the console. You have PlayStation fans attacking them. And it all just gets clicks. And it's like, it's rage baiting. And rage baiting doesn't work like that with Nintendo or PlayStation. But with Xbox, it does. Because even though Microsoft actually has a first-party roadmap this year, they still get attacks. And like, is this an Xbox tax thing? I mean, that's a debate for another day. But it's crystal clear that they're going for... like, during GDC, was there really any reason to go at Starfield when developers are meant to be celebrating each other, talking about technology?
Yes, and yes.
And they didn't do that. And like, Starfield is... like, I play a lot of video games. I've played sci-fi video games my entire life. Starfield is impressive. We live in a world where we have these video games now where you have... and No Man's Sky does this. This isn't just Starfield, but we live in a world where we have these video games where you have planets orbiting actual stars with moons that orbit those planets, and you can fly and land on those things. To me, that's bloody amazing. And you have GDC being all about developers, and you have like PC Gamer, which you said is an IGN company. Sadly, it doesn't surprise me, and they're trash. But like, people need to stop giving them clicks, and they need to be called out on it, because again, GDC isn't a place where... it's not an event where people should be turning into console war stuff. And what I saw yesterday was just a massive pile of console war bait, and it was sickening, really.
Yep. Yeah, it's disappointing because, look, We have 600 people here in the chat, according to what StreamYards is telling me, right? Now, maybe half of you loved Starfield. Maybe half of you hated Starfield. Okay. I mean, listen, not every game is for every gamer, but it's pretty apparent and very obvious that, and again, I get it, folks. When you say Xbox tax, people immediately equate that you wearing some sort of a tinfoil hat. Why are you guys talking about this again? It's ridiculous. Well, if you don't call out the bias and it just continues to fester, then I think that you're actually, and I say we as a community would be a part of the problem. Why are they continuing to pick on this game? The game came out last year. It won a couple of awards. It didn't win, it didn't sweep like I honestly thought it was. The game is incredibly ambitious. And again, it's, for me, it's one of my favorite Bethesda games of all time. It just, there is so much to do. And if you are an end game gamer, where I've seen people run through this thing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times, and every time they've run through it a different time, there's a different, I mean, like vastly different outcome where, right? Like, for instance, you know what? I don't even want to give you any of the spoilers because some of them are so outrageous that you're like, I can't believe this. Don't spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. But there are so many different variations of what you played to what you're playing in the end game. It's bananas. But the your initial playthrough, I still think is incredibly important. I find it to be very unprofessional that during something like GDC, like what Jamie just said, you're there to celebrate your compatriots, right? Like your other developers. I mean, they're all friends, right? People that work at Sony have friends that work at Xbox and that work at Nintendo and that work on PC only games, right? They're now, maybe not everyone gets along, and that's life, right? That's such as life, but to see the consistent, Jamie, every time that there is a lull in, let's say, for instance, it's clicks. IGN is definitely a part of this problem. GameSpot, Kotaku, PC Gamer. Whenever there is a lull in getting engagement, you know what? Let's just dump on Xbox. We're going to get it. And that's what has happened here.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of people know this, that at the beginning of the year, ad revenue across the board, especially websites that, you know, they need clicks, the ad revenue is at its lowest. So, like, clickbait is at an all-time high. And, like, really think about it. Outside of all the Xbox rumors in January, there really hasn't been any major stories. You know, not like in the past where, like, oh, Microsoft randomly bought Activision or, like, certain studios got bought up. Like, there's not been, like, these huge stories. You've had Aspyr crap the bed with the Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, which, oh, wow. You know, that was a mess. You have these studios shutting down, and that's not really been talked about. But you have, like, oh, Hi-Fi Rush is out on PlayStation. Let's talk about that and, like, give it better scores. Like, it's just... rage baiting is the ultimate form of getting clicks. Like, one of the reasons why I like Windows Central, even though it's a very Microsoft-focused website, they are fairly, and I'd say very, you know, honest. But if you go to IGN or GameSpot or any of those websites, like, it's just, it's terrible. Like, it's all rage baiting. And, like, I try to keep away from it. It's got to the point now where I don't actually read mainstream game media news. And I don't think anyone could blame us because it's awful writing. Again, I love GDC because I like learning about gaming technology, and to see like fanboy console war stuff come from that, it's crazy. Like, especially with all the, you know, Captain America and Black Panther stuff that came out yesterday.
I want to get into that. Yeah, that dropped yesterday at GDC, as a matter of fact. And holy cow, does that game look amazing!
Yeah, like my brain melted. That looks fantastic. And like, what do we see? Oh, Starfield is crap. Like we can't catch a break. And it's like, it feels like there's a negative Starfield topic every month. If you type Starfield into YouTube, it's just rage bait videos. It's people saying, I played Starfield again and it's crap. And I think that, like, for some reason, like, Starfield is like this big, like, target for some reason. Like, it's the first Bethesda RPG in a while that has only been on Xbox, and yeah, that clearly bothered a lot of people. Yet you'll see some of these people, they'll put out, like, there'll be like someone on Reddit that will hear a moth fart in the wind and say, "Hey, Starfield's coming to PlayStation." And people will run with that. Articles will be made saying, "Hey, Starfield may be coming to PlayStation." And all of a sudden, they love that game. But until then, which I don't think will happen, but until then, we're just going to see this wave every month of like negative Xbox news. And like Starfield, again, is an easy target for some reason, because it's a Bethesda RPG.
It's disappointing. Like I said, I mean, listen, I love the game. For me, it was my game of the year for a lot of reasons. And it's one of my favorite Bethesda games. It's just disappointing when this kind of stuff happens. But I think where you see the rubber hit the road, so to speak, Jamie, is when industry movers and shakers, like who I read, Mike Ybarra, Paris Lilly, the guy from The Witcher Studio, CD Projekt Red, when you start to see their own peers or people in the industry get out there and talk about it and say that how disappointed they are, that's how you know it's serious. And I think that Mike Ybarra was right for calling it out. I think that it is a sensationalist journalism that's going on. I mean, again, it's there's gaming is at a little bit of a lull right now. There isn't a lot coming out. I mean, obviously, the talk of the town is going to be Dragon's Dogma. I see some people asking about, you know, with the graphic situation, why is it running so poor? I have to see it myself. I don't think it's, hopefully the day one patch that it's ultimately going to have is going to fix everything. We'll see. I'm excited. I'm excited for that. That releases tomorrow. Are you getting Dragon's Dogma, Jamie?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like that's been on my most buy list for like since it was announced.
Okay. Yeah. See, I played a little bit of the original, maybe about 5 or 6 hours. I enjoyed it. It was fun, but I wound up playing it well after it released on the Xbox 360. Like I think I might have played it on the Xbox through back compat. And I was like, okay, this is pretty good. And then when they announced a new one, I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm definitely going to have to get back to it, which, of course, you know, I never did because my backlog is ridiculous and I don't have that much time in a day. Let's see. JB1521 says, Colin on his show said journalists are still scared to talk negative about Sony. Oh, that's a fact. I mean, all you got to do is just read the room. Some places, like, for instance, PC Gamer, you know, which, of course, is the subject matter here, along with, like, IGN. Well, 40%+ of their ad rev is from Sony, right? So are they going to go out and talk negative about Sony? Even though there is a reason to do so, if Sony does something that they poop the bed, so to speak, they're going to be like, like this, because they don't want to get their ad rev damaged. They don't want to get out. They don't want to get, blackballed, if you will, or banned from getting games. They're never going to hurt their money. And if that means not telling the truth and speaking about what's going on, and when they do talk about Sony, if you've ever noticed, Jamie, they kind of walk around it a little bit. They don't go right at it like they would Xbox. Xbox crap. Sony, like, well, you know, Sony could have done better, but maybe they'll do better the next time. But it's okay. It's Sony market leader. I don't know. Illegal Dad says it's all about that ad revenue. It is. Listen, I'm not a boob, folks. I understand that this is a money-making game, right? You know, they're here to make money. There's investors. There's people. There's people that have jobs. They have to pay the insurance. They have to, you know, keep the lights on, so to speak. But yeah, journalism has gotten very sensational, and unfortunately, I don't see that going away. And it's interesting, Jamie, even if Xbox has one of the best years in platform history, like I think they're going to. I think Indiana Jones is going to score well. Avowed is going to be amazing. I think the Hellblade is going to be game of the year conversation. I think Towerborn is going to surprise a lot of people. They have a lot going on. And even with all of that greatness, you know, doing great on first party, they have amazing service and Game Pass. I still don't think there's going to be a time where we're going to see people talking positive about, in the media about play, about Xbox, even if they're doing better than PlayStation. Final thoughts on that?
I think, like, we all can say, like, Microsoft, they're going to have a good year. They have, you know, Hellblade, Avowed, Indiana Jones, Towerborn, Flight Sim 2024, Age of Mythology. There's also going to be more games coming out this year by Xbox that haven't been announced yet. So, like, it's, if you compare it to last year, like, this year is going to be way better. And I thought last year was great. But I think no matter what Microsoft put out, it's always going to be, like, everything's going to be put against Xbox. Like you said, the whole PlayStation thing and how, like, journalists, like, they don't go at PlayStation because they're worried about maybe not getting review copies. And we've seen this in the past. I think it was someone from GameSpot gave The Last of Us a lower score. I think they gave it a 7. And that person got fired. And
whoa, I did not know about that.
Yeah, and this was, like, back in the day. And I think, like people have heard that Sony have, like, blacklisted certain outlets before. But, like, Microsoft, they get all of the heat. So despite, I'll put it like this, Microsoft, they have a great year ahead, but they are in the news for negative reasons. They are the company that's, quote-unquote, going third party. Yet Sony, they're going to stop, they're slowing down development of VR headsets. The VR headset, which costs more than the console itself, they shut down multiple studios. They shut down studios that are working on VR games. They closed game development down on certain titles, multiple games cancelled. None of that's been talked about. It's what's been talked about? Oh yeah, Hi-Fi Rush, finally on PlayStation. Pentiment, finally on PlayStation. It's none of that PlayStation stuff. Like, I think one, the PlayStation fan base, they get coddled by the journalists. Like, there's no negative stuff talked about PlayStation that much. Because, like, let's be honest, they can be pretty, like, harsh towards people. But, like, everything Xbox gets turned into something negative. Like, Indiana Jones gets announced in January, right? And it looks fantastic. And what does the game industry start talking about? Motion sickness. And do you know who didn't get motion sickness? Everyone talking about Sea of Thieves on PlayStation.
Yes. You know what, Jamie? This is why I love working with you. The great, phenomenal points. And again, relative to our conversation, this just happened. I forgot about the whole motion sickness thing. We can't play it in first person because we're going to get sick to our stomachs. But yet, Sea of Thieves, which has actual water physics that could potentially make you seasick if you actually stare into the screen as the boat is going up and down, no problems with that. It's pretty funny. It is pretty funny.
Yeah, and, like, look at Hi-Fi Rush, right? Excellent game. Excellent game. It was one of the most polished games I've ever played. And what have I seen this past week? Oh, when it came, like, I'm like, across the board, I'm seeing people talk about how it was buggy at launch. Hell, someone replied to one of my posts yesterday saying how the game wasn't fixed until seasons later. What seasons are you talking about? Like, people like to push this forced narrative that everything about Xbox is negative in some way. And, like, I hate the fact I have to say this because it sounds like I'm taking crazy pills and I'm wearing a tinfoil hat. But all you have to do is open your eyeballs and look, and it's like, it's so forced in your face. Yeah. Like, all I have to do is open Twitter and just scroll once and I'll say something negative. You know, like, again, I'm still shocked about, like, none of these media outlets are talking about the motion sickness thing. What, you in Sea of Thieves, you're on a boat on a moving ocean in first person, and what's this? Oh yeah, no motion sickness. But Indiana Jones, you know, let's make that an issue. Like, it's crazy, man. And we're gonna see this continue, and it's a shame.
Yeah, it definitely, you know, listen, it is what it is. You know, put them on the pain of mind list and just keep it moving. But again, I do think that as content creators, regardless of your size of your channel, regardless of of how many people you know in the industry, I do think that there is good reason to talk about it, to kind of call it out, or, you know, like in some circles, call to the carpet and let people know, because if you put your head in the sand, it's going to continue. And again, this is, you know, we don't owe any loyalty to Microsoft. We like our brand. We like, you know, I'm an Xbox first guy. I don't make an apology for it. But I do like PlayStation as well. I just don't play there as much because they don't have a lot of the games. That's my exclusive console. Just like Nintendo is my exclusive console. Now, don't get me wrong. I do double dip on Switch because of the handheld aspect of it. I can play a game like Vampire Survivor sitting on a couch while Mrs. Boom and I are watching some of the, you know, I'm watching a film or something. And I don't mind doing that. I wouldn't do that for Sony. Sony is my exclusive box, and that's fine. But yeah, I think we should call it out when we see it. I think that you don't have to be ridiculous about it, but I think that you can call it out, be fair, have a good conversation like Jamie and I just had, and again, let the powers that be know that that's unacceptable behavior. So let me move this footage over to some Forza. And let me catch up on some of the super chats and the channel memberships here. We have Michael Mooney drops a very generous £5 super chat. Michael, thank you so much for being here, brother, and thank you for the generosity. He says, so FSR 3.1 is rolling out to Xbox games starting later this year, hopefully killing the need for the mid-gen hardware. There's a lot that they're going to be doing. I mean, there's still the machine learning that they've been talking about for a while. I think you're going to see a lot of that come to fruition. But I think where you're really going to see this machine take off is when we, in May, we get Hellblade 2. Obviously, just if you remember the screens that were just dropped by Ninja Theory, those look crazy good, and that is in-engine game. That's gameplay. I think everyone is going to be incredibly impressed with this, especially if you're rocking. I mean, if you're on PC and you have a monster, box, you know, if you have like a 40, if you're rocking a 49, that game is going to melt your eyebrows right off your face. But for console players like me who don't play on PC, you're going to get the best version on the Series X. I'm totally looking forward to it. You know what? I actually put the wrong footage here, folks. It was just a video clip of this. I don't know why I did that. Let me just change the footage. Hold on just a second. I was wondering why I didn't recognize that race, and it was the Maple Valley short that I wound up doing. Hold on just a second. Let me get some better footage out here. Where is my Forza? Hold on just a second. I'll tell you. Okay, so here we go. Pardon the sound for a second. I'm going to shut it off right here. Okay, there you go. So I want to move on to the next topic, but let me just read the last two member chats here. First of all, Nino Vestek has gifted a one double barrel gaming membership. Brother, that is crazy generous of you. Thank you for that. If you did get the sub from Nino Vestek, please give him a thank you in the chat. We super appreciate the generosity, brother. We also have Torino Johnson, who's been a channel member for 6 months. Torino, great to have you here, brother, and thank you so much for the support. He says, still enjoying Starfield. While I play Pentiment, I'm level 161. He has 79 days, 1 hour, and 10 minutes in with all of my powers at level 10. Ran the red mile 33 times. Wow, dude. Like, let's see again. I ran through it once. I did want to do multiple playthroughs, but I just don't have the time. There's so many games that I really want to get into, but I loved every bit of Starfield. It's minuscule to other people. I put over 5 days into it. I know people are like, oh my God, 5 days. That's not even a lot. You know, there's a lot of games. Last year, there were a lot of games. I support all three consoles, so of course my time is split. But when that new DLC drops, Shattered Space, I'm going to be right back to it. I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to that. We also have we got Hargi Chani. Hey, brother. Welcome. Hopefully you're enjoying Boston. He drops, folks, a very generous $5 super chat and says, missed yesterday's discussion. Bungie's future not looking so good. Sad face. More problems for PlayStation, but I guess Xbox is the one that is folding. Hashtag Xbox tax. Indeed. I mean, listen, folks, Hargeet is right there with me. We're gonna bang the lunatic drum and say that there is Xbox tax, and I'm not gonna ever give that up. I'm sorry. I just think that there is, and every day that we do this shenanigans with the podcasting and the social media, you see it. But Jamie, we got about another 15 or 20 minutes left. We got to talk Elder Scrolls 4 Remake because this is something. Now, you're wondering, why did I talk about this today? Well, obviously, news is kind of shrinking a bit. So you got to sometimes, as a host, drum up some good conversation. And I think this is going to be a good one. So as I was scrolling through social media yesterday, Jamie, I realized that Bethesda had put out a tweet celebrating the 18th anniversary of Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion. I think that, again, depending on who you ask or when you started gaming, I don't know about so much about you folks and you, Jamie. I spent so much time in Oblivion. It was ridiculous. I still have the collector's edition with the gold coin and the cloth map in storage in mint condition. I absolutely loved everything about Oblivion. Now, granted, it probably doesn't hold up that great now, but if they're doing a remake, man, Jamie, I am all here for it. Now, let's see. What do I have on Oblivion? Okay, so I have the tweet. It is the load screen that Bethesda tweeted. It says, "This journey through Tamriel has held a special place for us. A very happy anniversary to the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion and the 18 years we've adventured together." And just talking about it, folks, because I'm a nerd, I got goosebumps because I remember the first, DLC, buying the horse armor and getting railroaded by my brother. I can't believe you bought that. That's ridiculous. $5. What a waste. And, I was probably one of the problems that caused DLC to be a thing, but I bought the horse armor. I'm not sorry that I did, because I wanted my horse to look different than everybody else's. It's crazy. But I bought it. Jamie, I pulled a story from Game Rant. Now, this story is a little older. It was posted last year, July 31st, 2023. It was written by Dominic Bosjack. And again, it's a little older story. We haven't heard much about the remake. We know that, supposedly, the rumor, Jamie, is that the Oblivion, the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion is getting a remake, and so is Fallout 3. But we're not going to talk about Fallout 3 because, well, we're here to talk about Oblivion. Now, according to the story, it says, rumor suggests that the remake or remaster of the Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion may be in development, although Bethesda has not confirmed this, and is focused on completing Starfield. Now, obviously, this is before Starfield released. Virtuous, an international studio specializing in remakes, is reported to be working on an updated version of Oblivion code named Altar, which may release in late 2024 early 2025. Now, the leaked roadmap for Virtuous, shared by an ex-employee, also reveals other projects in development, including a narrative climbing game, the next New World expansion, and an ambitious AAA game, as well as the Metal Gear Solid Delta release. Jamie, this is one of those games that when you think about as many remakes as there have been, and there's been some really phenomenal ones, and there's been some really shitty ones. You mentioned Star Wars Battlefront. I got stuck with it because I had returned two games before. They didn't give me a refund, so I spent the $40, and now I'm stuck with it, and that sucks. I'm hoping that they do get it fixed at some point. What Do you think that there is a place, especially in modern age gaming, to see a remake of Oblivion when we are potentially years away from a new Elder Scrolls? I want to say that we're at least minimum 2 years, because I'm thinking maybe they kind of put the pedal to the metal and the Elder Scrolls 6 is a launch title for the new Xbox hardware, which I think would be dope. But I think that is kind of dreaming a bit. Do you want to see a full-fledged Oblivion remake?
Oh, yeah. Oblivion's one of my favorite games of all time. Like, back on 360, like, stepping out of the dungeon for the first time in the open world, that was, like, one of those next-gen, like, experiences on 360, because it looked way better than Morrowind back in the day. And, like, even though you can play it at 4K 60 at the minute, and even though Microsoft has all these other games in development, they still have room to put, like, remasters or remakes out throughout a year. Because, like, one of the reasons people make fun of PlayStation for the whole remakes and remasters thing is that there's too much emphasis on those things. But Microsoft this year, you can tell they've got a roadmap. But I think that if they have their games they already have announced now, and they put, like, remasters or remakes out in between, you're going to be getting 6 to 8 games a year from them, which is bloody great. And, like, look, Elder Scrolls is years away. And like you said, I've been theorizing this for like a year now. Like, I think the next Elder Scrolls game is a next-gen launch window title, or a launch title. And, like, again, 2026, that's still years away. I think there's space for an Oblivion remake or remaster. And I'm looking at the list now, by the way, that leaks. And this is a real list. And all these other titles have been announced for this year. So Indiana Jones, already announced for this year. Elder Scrolls Online Expansion, already announced, coming this year. Starfield DLC, already announced, coming this year. The only thing on this list by Bethesda that hasn't been announced yet is the Oblivion remake. And think about, like, so in various documents, I've seen this listed as a remake and a remaster. So we don't know what we're really going to get. But if you look at how Oblivion gates work back on 360, you step through an Oblivion gate, you got a loading screen, and then you're in, you know, the hell, basically. Well, now with SSDs, you would have instant loading. So you would literally step into the gate. But we have had bad remasters over the years and bad remakes. And the Star Wars Battlefront thing, like, I got a review copy, and even I felt duped. that was a horrendous experience. And I said in my review on my podcast, like, I can't recommend it to people because it's in such bad state. But over the years, we've had good remasters as well, like Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which I will praise every single day for the rest of my life. And that they did a great job. Dead Space Remake, phenomenal. So, like, it just depends who's doing it, how much effort's been put into it. Depending on the studio, I'm sure they'll do a good job. But I think you have all these, like, Starfield fans at the minute. Like, they're waiting for the DLC, or maybe they want to move on to another RPG. In Oblivion, it came out so long ago now that there's a whole generation of gamers that just haven't played it. And if you give it a new coat of paint, like, if you play that game now, that came out in the generation where you don't have grass in a forest, you have a green texture. So it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird walking around. So, like, if they could, like, make it modern, that'd be great. And honestly, I think that's going to be one of the major games announced for this year at Microsoft Summer Showcase. I think it's going to release in the summer, like, shortly after the E3 Showcase, whatever it's going to be called. But there's definitely a one for it. And, like, we're probably going to see some Gears stuff and remasters and whatnot. But I think Microsoft have so many new games coming out that they can afford to have these remakes and remasters come out as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is room for, I mean, and that's the thing that's pretty cool, right? Like, with Game Pass, you don't need to sell 1 million copies of said game or 10 million copies of said game for it to be successful. The one thing, the advantage of something like an Oblivion remake or a remaster, however you want to put it, that's going to drop right into your service. Now, what's interesting, Jamie, and this is another question to add to the conversation, is this a game that they're going to keep to themselves, or do you see this game releasing on a PlayStation 5 as well? Maybe even a Switch, for that matter.
So this is a bit of a weird answer. I think Oblivion might be exclusive, but I think the Fallout one will be multi-platform.
That makes sense.
Just because, you know, the Fallout show's coming out soon, that's going to be huge. It really just depends on like when they started development, what the contracts are like. But like, I will say this, even though this is going to be a remaster or remake, and it's an old game, which we've all, a lot of us have played, if this is multi-platform, we're going to see nonstop hell space on Twitter for weeks. But I think either way, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it's like the Oblivion remake or remaster, as much as I want to play it, as much as you want to play it, I don't see that as a system seller. I just think it is another experience to have. It's going to be one of those games that you put in Game Pass, which they'll market and all that stuff. And I think people will have fun with it, but it's confusing because now I'm thinking about it, maybe it is multi-platform. Mm. Maybe it started development before Microsoft even purchased Bethesda. And we don't know the scale of the remake. Like, is it a full-on remake? Is it a remaster? Or is it more like a Crisis Core thing where it's kind of both, where you have remade textures and assets, but it's basically the same game? We just don't know. I think it just depends on when it started development.
You know, I mean, it's a good question. We don't know what was happening behind the scenes before they were purchased. We don't know how long this game has been in actual development. So my hot take on this, folks, is I'm going to play this game probably through completion. That's because I'm a big fan. I am hoping, Jamie, that we get a remake rather than a remaster. A remake means that they have gone down to the code and you're getting like everything new. Now, will it be a Resident Evil 2 Final Fantasy 7 remake type of product? I would sure hope so. And the thing is this, because Elder Scrolls 6 is not coming out for at least another 2 to 3 years. And I agree with everyone in the chat. You said it. People said it in the chat. They think that this is going to be a launch title. And it makes perfect sense. Phil Spencer has already said that it is going to remain exclusive. Well, for how long, we don't know. But if you're launching new hardware and, you know, you're the owner of Bethesda, you make something. I mean, Elder Scrolls 6 is going to move boxes. Even if you could play on your refrigerator, people are going to buy a box to play this game. It is going to sell like hotcakes. It's Elder Scrolls, and it's Elder Scrolls 6. But that's not coming out for another 2 years. If they do this right, Jamie, and we get like a full-on remake, this could definitely hold off the sting of not getting anything new for... I mean, obviously, if you like the MMO, it's there for you. That's not my bag, so that's why I haven't played it. What are you more siding with? A remake to get it out, or I mean a remaster to get it out, or a remake? Let's do this right.
I think it's both.
Have
you ever played Crisis Core Reunion?
No, I have not.
Okay, so that game, for all intents and purposes, is technically a remaster. I'm doing air quotes, but they went in and they gave every single character in the game voice acting. None of it's just text anymore. Remade all of the assets from scratch. The only thing that's the same is basically how the world's laid out, how the quests work, and like the CGI cutscenes have been upscaled. So it's literally a remake and a remaster at the same time. Gotcha. The first Mass Effect game in Legendary Edition, they remade every asset in that game. Thousands of different textures, but it's still the same game. Look at the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake this year. I've gone over that footage frame by frame, and I can tell you that's going to be a frame-to-frame remake. Step by step, beat for beat. If you played 3, you're getting this, but it's going to be shiny in Unreal Engine 5. I think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be the same game we love, but looking all fancy and new. I don't think it's going to be a straight-up up-res, because technically we've already got that.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be the quote-unquote Resident Evil 2 style remake.
They literally remade the game. I think you're onto something here. A remaster and a remake at the same time. Better textures, same game. I like that.
Yeah, and it works out because like when it happened with Legendary Edition and I heard that they were changing everything with one, I'm not going to lie, I was scared because that's my favorite game of all time and I don't want them to change that, but they made it a better game, they improved gameplay elements, the UI, all that stuff, quality of life improvements, and if they do that with Oblivion, then we're going to get something fantastic. But like you said, I don't think it's going to be a Resident Evil 2 or Final Fantasy 7 style remake, and personally, I don't think it needs that. I'm one of those people that I think Oblivion is better than Skyrim, just for its main story.
Yeah.
You have the big war battles and stuff, the Oblivion gates, all that stuff. There's more dungeons. There's better dungeons in Oblivion. But I think people will be happy with it. The studio that's working on it have made some really good games in the past. So I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I listen, who was it that said Shivering Isles DLC was dope? I'm trying to look. I mean, I know that they said it a while back. Apologies that I didn't read it when it first popped up, but yeah, it's. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Shivering Isles DLC, I would imagine that all DLC is going to be a part of it, which would be pretty dope, in my opinion. You know, it's. Look, I'm here for it. I think everyone is here for it. It's going to be in Game Pass. It's going to be available day one when it drops. Again, one of those things that we opened up the show with, Game Pass being a service. I don't know how you're a gamer and you don't have it. Again, maybe it's a finance thing. And I'm not going to fight you on it. The world kind of sucks right now for everybody. It's not just, you know, one or two people. The world sucks and everything's expensive. But the thing about Game Pass, it does for $16.99 a month, you are getting a ridiculous deal. And this is going to be one of those games going right in there. I hope it's released. I think you're onto something for June. It would be a big draw right along with something like the Marcus Fenix collection that I'm expecting to be dropped. As a matter of fact, I expect it not only to be announced, but shadow dropped. And that is nothing I heard. That is complete speculation on my part. I would love to see Gears 1, 2, and 3 in Unreal Engine 5. I think most people would as well. That would be huge. And again, you get an Oblivion drop, you get a Gears drop, or announcement and a drop. It would, listen, this June is going to be crazy, and I'm looking forward to it. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for today's show. This is obviously one of the smaller shows that I do. It's one-on-one. Usually it's just me and C Money, but we do have obviously he's not here, so I had to bring in a co-host. Jamie, I want to help you sell your brand, but before we do that, let me thank everybody in the chat for being here. We had well over 600 people. That is absolutely amazing. If you're finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing, hitting the bell icon so you know whenever I go live. And of course, while you're still here, consider hitting the thumbs up button, because it does really help with this ridiculous algorithm known as YouTube. I truly would appreciate it. And let me just make sure I'm caught up on all the super chats. Yes, we are caught up on all super chats and all channel messages. Jamie, please, by all means, sell your brand, kind sir. Tell everyone where they can check out your YouTube channel, subscribe, what you got going on with it, and more importantly, follow you on social media.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the show again, Boom. Always a pleasure. But yeah, my YouTube is The Elusive Gamer, where I mainly post about Xbox. Like you said, the YouTube algorithm isn't great. I post about upcoming games coming to Xbox and that stuff every month. I have a podcast every Tuesday called All Things Xbox Podcast. And I literally keep everything on the channel basically just about Xbox. There's no fanboy stuff and all that stuff. So if people want to support the channel, just subscribe. It's good. And on Twitter, I'm Jamie Moran UK, where I cover everything gaming and the occasional joker too.
And you do some funny ones out there, especially when you tweet about the Arkham Asylum inmates following you. That is hilarious. And yes, they do. It's honestly, it is funny, but it's sad.
Yeah.
He puts out a tweet that says, "Oh, I'm excited about Indiana Jones." And that's the tweet. And he gets some really heinous, like, replies. And when he puts it out there, he always says, "Oh, the Arkham Asylum inmates, they got out again." And it is hilarious. But don't hate monger, folks. This world is terrible. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. Be happy. be go lucky, you know, be positive. That's what we do here. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in for today's show. Hopefully you had enough, a lot of fun. We did. Obviously, tomorrow there is one more show left for the week. Breakfast of Boom tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I believe Infinite Umbra is going to be joining the crew. I have a whole positive Xbox conversation to be had about some of the things that that Jez Corden of Windows Central and, of course, the Xbox 2 said recently. And, you know, Jez is really sneaky. Like, he says subtle things, and it goes over a lot of people's heads. And then when you see him and you sit back and you're like, well, let me see what Jez had to say. Oh, there's something here. You'll hear about that tomorrow. Plus, whatever else is going to happen, because remember, the rest of the day is, it's only 1:15, so who knows what's going to happen. But a big thank you to all of the Super Chats, all of the channel members that continue to support us. Of course, Nino Vistic, thank you so much for giving one of one sub away. We super appreciate that here. And of course, folks, I'm going to close out today's show with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of X Vlog Live.